want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 tonight, and then we'll be in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 2 tonight, and then Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to preach tonight a message that I preach probably about once every year, every year and a half. And it's been a while since I've preached this message. I was sitting on the front row this morning during Sunday school, and this message come to my mind. And I have to be careful when messages come to my mind, because our mind goes in 1,000 different directions a lot of times for what to preach. And so when I went home and began to pray, and you know, there are times that I study through the week, and that don't always mean that I'm going to preach what I studied come Sunday. Now, that gets a little exciting sometimes when you study all week, and then you get up to come to church or on Sunday afternoon, and you don't have anything, or you've got something different. But as I sat down to study this afternoon, it's a kind of amazing how the Lord works. As I just planted myself in my study chair in there, this message came back to my mind. I said, Lord, is that really what you want? And I really believe this is what He wants tonight. I'm going to preach tonight having a thought on why use a King James Bible. I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 2, look in verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now that word slip simply means to either slide or to glide. It means to sneak or to slink about. But it also means to be in error or fall into error. And I believe that this is what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying, that we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, that they get away from us and we no longer know the truth. Hey, if there are things that, I'm going to be honest with you, we're one generation away from this church going into apostasy. This church is one pastor away from slipping off into apostasy. You need to understand that. I can take you to a church right now north of us, and I can show you that they were at one time they were a good Bible-believing church. As long as they had one pastor there, and even at the end of his time, he began to slip a little bit in his convictions and in his standards on music and on dress and about how to live and so on and so forth. That the next man that come in behind him, now their music is worldly, their dress is worldly, and they're headed in the wrong direction. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of book of Genesis, chapter 3. Book of Genesis chapter 3, and we'll begin to preach here. Book of Genesis chapter 3, look in verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. You say, well, preacher, we know why we use a King James Bible. We understand that it is the Word of God. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. There are folk that once, there's men that once stood and preached only this book and believed only this book, and now they don't do that. There's men and women that sit on pews that once believed that way, and they no longer anymore. Something has caused it to slip from them. And here's what it is tonight. Look in Genesis chapter 3 and look in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The very first question asked in the Bible right here, listen, especially from Satan, he questioned and that the Word of God. Let me say, that's what Satan's always going to do to you, is question the Word of God. He will always question whether it's true. He'll always question whether God meant what He said and said what He meant. He'll always question that and make you want to disbelieve what the Word of God says. Sam Jones put it like this, and I love the statement that Brother Sam made. He said, I would have believed it just the same if it said Jonah swallowed the whale. That's a big statement right there, ain't it? Hey, it's hard for us to believe that a whale swallowed Jonah, and 3 days later it spit him up and out on dry ground, and he ran to Nineveh to preach the Word of God. But Brother Sam said, I'd have believed it if it said that Jonah swallowed a whale. He said, I've got no better sense than to believe the Bible. Call me a fool for it. I'm a happy fool. I believe every word in the Bible. I accept everything between the lids of the book. And then here's how he finished his statement. I have good reasons for my faith. Now can I tell you, at the end of the day, out of all the arguments, out of all the preaching that I can do to tell you about the King James Bible, you're either going to have to believe it by faith that it is the Word of God or not. That's the end of it. You're going to have to take it by faith. I can prove it to you. I can show it to you why I believe what I believe about this book that I've got in front of me tonight. But friend, at the end of the day, you have to make your mind up. I can't make it up for you. I can tell you why I believe it. I can show you what the Bible says about itself. I can tell you what God says about His own Word. And we're going to look at that tonight. But why I believe and use a King James Bible. Now, you can ask my wife tonight. And the reason I say you can ask her is because I can tell you something. But she lives with me. And so she knows how our house is run. You know, I can tell you a lot of things. You understand why I'm saying that? But she'll tell you whether it's true or not. Listen, we just try and that to live by this book. We strive to do that. Because this is the only thing that God has gave us and that to live by. Hey, He's given us this book to get saved by. He's given us this book to live by. And He's given us this book to die by. And I believe God's gave us a great book tonight. You have to understand the King James Bible and that come from what was called the received text, the Textus Receptus, come out of Antioch. All the others come in that out of Alexandria. They come from what was called the manuscripts of the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. Some was even found in a trash can. And some make the assumptions that all manuscripts are the same and that all Scripture, using that loosely, come from the same manuscript. That is not true. Can I say tonight, what study that I've done and what I understand about the King James Bible is that 98% of what known Greek and Hebrew is left, 98% of that agrees with the King James Bible. You say, well, shouldn't you say that the King James Bible agrees with it? No. They agree with the King James Bible tonight. I can't read Greek and Hebrew. Do you know that? Now, can I just cut to the chase for a second here and just say some things that you probably already know? And I'm probably not going to tell some of you anything that you don't know already. But listen, I believe this book to be the book for English-speaking people. I believe this to be the Bible that God gave to English-speaking people. What is the most used language today? Why, English. I mean, you go to third world countries and one of the languages that they teach is English. So God made it easy for folk to get the Word of God. Now I've got a conviction about this book. I don't have a preference. I've got a conviction. And I think tonight that you need that. You need to understand that you need to get sold out on what book you're going to use that you call a Bible tonight. A lot of people, they want to talk about all the revisions that's been made. I do the King James Bible, the four revisions down through time. You can call them revisions if you want to, but they were not. They were printers' mistakes that were corrected. We're still reading the exact same thing that the translators and that gave us from 1611. Why was getting it in English so important? We find that this Bible, if we look back in my Sunday school class, sort of know this. You go back and you look and you'll find that this is the seventh English-speaking Bible that we've got, that God moved to work on. The Roman Catholic Church did not want a new Bible when they started translating to English. As long as the people could not read or did not know the Word of God and what the Scripture said, then they were held in bondage. Do you remember what one of our missionaries, I'm trying to think out of where he is. Can't even remember his name. Man, my mind's getting bad. But he said one of the problems that they're having on the field right now or during that time is that the people over there did not have the Word of God. And he said, so they have no assurance of their salvation. He said, but there's over our recapping them. Those are the terms that he used. And he said, because they have no word in front of them.
Hey, can I tell you, without the Scripture, just in itself, you're held in bondage by whoever tells you whatever tonight. So William Tyndale, one day proving a learned Roman Catholic scholar wrong, the papists cried out, "It is better for us to be without God's law than without the Pope's." Boy, he was deceived. William Tyndale replied, "I defy the Pope and all the laws, and if God spare my life ere these many years, I will cause a boy that driveth the plow more to know more of the Scripture than you do." And William Tyndale was one of the first ones that ever, and that translated into English. So why do I believe the King James Bible tonight? Why do I do that? I don't know why you believe it. And you say, Mark, you were raised that way. Actually, I was not raised that way. I grew up in a church when I was 16 years old. After I got saved, I grew up in a church all up until I was 16 in a church that used whatever they wanted to use. I can remember that my sister used to carry a Living Bible. That ain't much of a Bible if you've ever cracked the lids on that thing. I mean, it's got cuss words in it and everything else. I can remember that. Boy, you're talking about confusing somebody in a Sunday school class. You're talking about saying, "Well, here's what my Bible says," and then somebody says, "Well, here's what mine says," and "Here's what mine says." Listen, God only said it one way, friend. And so, I mean, He said it the way that He wanted to say it. So I had to get convinced on some things myself. I had to sell out on this myself. I remember the church that me and Kelly got married in. They believed the King James Bible. Couldn't really tell you why, but they believed it. Amen. And that may be where you're at tonight. You may believe it, but you may not know why it is right, but you keep on believing it. We'll try to get there. Number one, first of all, there was the promise of the preservation of His Word. God promised to preserve His Word. Now that's important tonight because He promised to preserve us. And if God promised to preserve something, if He was not going to preserve His Word, how can we know that we're preserved tonight? How can we know that we're kept tonight, and that by the power of God? Psalms chapter 12 verse 6 said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Look at there. Purified seven times. God tried His Word, worked His Word to where He got it, where He wanted it. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." That word "preserve" simply means to keep or to save from injury. It means to save from destruction or from decay. I believe tonight that God promised to preserve His Word, and He has preserved it in the book that I've got before me so that we could have it. Psalms 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." God didn't say it one way and said, then man has a better vernacular, and I'm going to change it to meet that vernacular. He said, "Well, preacher, I cannot understand the King's English." I'll deal with that here in a minute. Can I tell you tonight that when they wrote this and translated this book, that if you look at the preface that the original King James translators put in the front of it, you'll find that it wasn't in the King's English either. That'll tell you something. There was a reason why they wrote it or translated it the way that they did. I don't want to use that word "wrote." God wrote it. Amen. He breathed on it. Listen, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 said, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." So God's Word is going to stand somewhere forever. And I take, here again, you can take this out and throw it out if you want to, but I do know from what I preached this morning, we're all, if you're saved, going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. What do you think Jesus is going to judge you with? Seriously tonight, what do you think He's going to judge you with? I honestly believe that He'll reach over on a shelf in heaven and reach up there and pull a King James Bible off and set it on the bema seat and says, "Here's what He said. Why didn't you do it? Here's what He said. Why did you do what you did when you should not have done it?" But He promised a preservation. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Hey, it's having to endure today, ain't it? That means it's had to pull up and load up and under a bunch of criticism and under a bunch of strife where folk have denied it, where folk have said it's not right in order to say this instead of that. Listen, here's what he meant right there. I talked to one fellow here a while back, and he was talking about their preacher. He's gone now, but he said he wanted to correct the Bible more than he wanted to preach the Bible. I have no need to correct the Bible. I have every need to correct me and that to fit this book right here. It's right tonight. I'm wrong. No matter what happens, I'm wrong and this book is right. You sell out to that thought, it'll begin to help you tonight. Amen. He said what? What did he say in the book of Hebrews? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I know why I believe what I believe, but you know that you may not be sold out on it much as that. What's it matter, preacher? It matters. God promised to preserve His Word. Right? I believe we can all agree to that tonight, that God promised for preservation. If it's not this book that's in front of me, where is it? I mean, where is it tonight? Where did God preserve? He's a web preacher. It's preserved in that, in the originals. Well, the original's sitting in heaven tonight. I mean, He is the Word of God. I mean, in the beginning was the Word, and was with God, and the Word was God. I understand it tonight. He is the Word of God. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and handled, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. Little John said, we've seen Him, we've heard Him, we've touched Him. If God promised to preserve it, where is it? Well, it's in the original. I assume when folks say it's in the originals that they're talking about Greek and Hebrew. Again, I go back to the very fact that I cannot read Greek and Hebrew. You know that God makes things so easy for folk to understand. Do you think that God wants folk to struggle to come to salvation? I'm asking you what you think tonight. I really do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died at Calvary and shed His blood. Boy, we sung about that by the very first song that we sung tonight. So that shed His blood so that sinners could be saved. And make it hard for them to come to Christ. I do not believe that tonight. I believe He wants it to be very easy tonight for folk to get saved. Why would God keep it in something that we cannot read tonight? Again, I go back, that's what the Roman Catholic Church was doing. They were keeping it from the common man so that they could control the common man. Like I told you all this story. Do you really know this was a little story? It was told, I assume it to be the truth. If they lied to me, then I'm probably fixing to lie to you, whoever they were. But they said, you know, back in the day, and we're talking about 500, 600, 700 years ago, they were big on relics. And they were selling these relics, and one feller that was selling them had a skull over here that was said John the Baptist, and then he had a bigger skull over here that said John the Baptist. And when somebody questioned him about how could they both be John the Baptist? He said this little one over here was when he was a kid. Some of y'all catch on to that here in a minute. Where there is no light, there is darkness. And when there is no light, there is ignorance. He said, well, preacher, you're just talking about taking the Bible away. What do you think you're doing when you take a King James Bible away? You're taking away light. Can I ask you now, why do you think that Africa is called the Dark Continent? It's been called the Dark Continent, I know of, at least since the 30s. I remember even watching a Bugs Bunny cartoon back when I was a kid, and I don't remember why they were headed over to Africa, but it was wrote up on that map, even I believe that was probably in the 40s, as the Dark Continent. Had nothing to do with the color of their skin. Had everything to do with there was no light there. You take light away, you have darkness tonight. Why do you think that worldly music and worldly dress begins to slip into churches most of the time? You take this thing away, it'll happen. I believe tonight that God breathed into this book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Peter chapter 1 said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe God preserved it. I believe God breathed into it just as much as God breathed into me, and as much as God preserved me tonight because I'm saved. I believe He done the same for this book right here. If you cannot believe that, then you cannot believe that you're preserved and kept by the power of God tonight. If He is not able to do that with His book, then He is not able to do that with my soul. And why should I worry about anything else tonight? Well, all of them are the Word of God, preacher. All of them are. I know I've told you this story before, but I had a friend of mine come to me and say, well, what does it matter if I tell you a story and I tell you it's a burgundy truck and you tell it as a red truck? I said, well, it really wouldn't matter As long as you didn't tell me three different times, don't change it from a burgundy truck. Always say that it's a burgundy truck. Y'all catching on with me tonight? Did you know that if you look over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, take your Bible and go over there and look. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm making a point tonight. Now we're talking about the changes that had been made. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look in verse 2. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So we find in the front of the book, God said, don't add to them, nor take away from my word. He said, don't do it. Take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Now most y'all know what we're doing here. Proverbs chapter 30. Guess what he says in verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield. Ain't that good tonight? Every word of God is pure. Now you need to get sold out on the book tonight. You need to get sold out on the Bible. That's how you've got to guide your life, your home, your family, keep your marriage together, raise your children with, work on your job with, is this book right here. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Boy, ain't that good tonight. He's our shield. He's our shield. Look what He's saying. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So here we find in the middle of the book, front of the book of Deuteronomy, he said, don't add to it, don't diminish from it. Right here he said, don't add to it, lest the Lord reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Now most of you know where to go now. Revelation chapter 22. And so then we find at the end of the book, in verse 18, what he says about changing things. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. He said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It's kind of a stout rebuke right there, ain't it? And a stout warning. God don't want nobody meddling with his word. Amen. He don't want you meddling with it. He don't want me meddling with it. He don't want those other what's so-called Bibles meddling with it. He gave it to us just the way that he wanted it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you make the argument, well, they can all be the Word of God. Well, preacher, I believe they're all the Word of God except for the International Version. I don't blame you. I wouldn't believe that either. Amen. I wouldn't believe it either. I believe they're all the, I believe the King James Bible and the New King James Bible is the Word of God. You're confused. Do you know you can only say it one way? I can only tell you something one way. Right? Am I making sense? If I tell you something, that's the way I see it. Are you catching on tonight? God only told us one thing one way. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Paul said, "We're not as many which corrupt the word." He said, "Look, there are folk in his day that was corrupting the Word of God." Do you know that in the Old Testament, we're studying the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday night, and we find that even then, there were those that were corrupting the Word of God. Is it any surprise that folk are corrupting the Word of God today? I mean, is it really a surprise? I remember, and I know I've told you all this story before, I was in a paint store up in Sweetwater years ago. This is probably, it's been at least 12, 13 years ago. And there's a fella in there. He was, Moy's talking about, he's getting old and he's getting decrepit and dying and all these things. And I thought, boy, that'd be a good time to witness this fella right here. I mean, he acts like he's fixing to leave out of here, you know. And I begin to talk to him about the Lord. And he says, "I know the Lord." And next thing I know, I'm in a conversation. He says, "Folk think I'm a heretic because I don't believe the King James Bible." In my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, you probably are a heretic too. And so we had a conversation there about the King James Bible, and I bought my paint and left, you know. I mean, he made his argument, but they don't sell out on me. I mean, you can tell me about how they've studied all these other books and studied all these things, and in order to say this and in order to say that, but I'm just telling you now, I believe it says what it says because that's how God wrote it in there. I believe the commas. I believe the periods. I believe the places where there ought to be a period and there ain't a period. Do you know that there's places in this book that for whatever reason, God didn't put a period at the end of the sentence? Do you know that? You can go through there and find them. There's just a handful of them like that. It's not a printer's mistake. Makes you wonder, don't it, tonight? Well, I can read the Greek and the Hebrew and get a better rendering, or I can see what Strong says at the Greek and Hebrew. There you go, taking what somebody else has said. If I have to go to a Strong's concordance to figure out what it says in Greek or Hebrew and then read it and add it to it, I'm not doing much punking with it tonight, am I? I do use a Webster's 1828 from time to time to figure out what some words mean, but as I've taught my Sunday school class the meaning, if you'll just read your Bible, you can figure out what that word means. You may have to go somewhere else in Scripture to find that meaning, but you can find that meaning in Scripture. We go back, and here's the whole problem. Genesis chapter 3. "Now the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." So there's always that question in people's minds when they use some other scripture besides the King James Bible. Did God really say that? 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 put it like this. He said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." Well, preacher, I cannot understand this book. I cannot understand this Bible. This Bible is hard to understand. I'll tell you two things tonight. This Bible is hard to understand when you're lost, and this Bible is hard to understand when you do not study it. This Bible is hard to understand. You cannot read this book like any other book. I mean, you can't sit down and open this book up and expect to read it like a magazine or like a newspaper or like any other book. Listen, it is being breathed on. It has been inspired, and you have to be the same way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Without the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you cannot discern what this Scripture has to say. It will not work. I believe a sinner can read it and glean off the top of it and realize that he needs to get saved and know that Jesus died for him and see all the good works that Christ has done. But beyond that, he ain't going to get a whole lot. She is not going to get a whole lot. So you must be saved. When I got saved, it changed receiving the Word of God. But when I sold out to the book and began to understand that I needed to read this book, fall in love with it, fall in love with the God of this book, that changed everything too. That changed how I could study and how I could receive the Word of God. Instead of picking it up once a week and trying to read a chapter out of it in less than 5 minutes and say that I read my Bible, church that I grew up in, they always asked these questions. And even the church that me and Kelly got married in, during Sunday school, they ask questions, you know, like, how many of you studied your Sunday school lesson? How many of you read your Bible daily? How many contacts was made this week? That's some good questions to ask, ain't it? Kind of put you on the spot, don't it? Right? So now, if you know come Sunday morning during Sunday school that you're going to be asked if you read your Bible daily, you're going to have to do one of three things. You're either going to have to read your Bible daily. You're either going to have to read your Bible daily as quick as you can and go on and do what you need to do so that you can say you read your Bible daily. Or you got to lie. Actually, four things. You got to lie and say you read it daily when you didn't read it daily. Or you can be honest and just tell them you didn't read it daily. So here we are. It'll make a difference in your lives. I can't understand it. Pray. You know, one of the things that I do before, and y'all know this, or should know it, one of the things that I do before I try to study and read is pray. I don't pray a big prayer. I say, "Lord, open this book. I'd like to learn something new out of it today, and show me what I need to see. Amen." And then I start reading. And I start studying. I think it tells us, I don't think, I know, it tells us what we are without Christ. It tells us what we are in Christ. It tells us that we're a sinner outside of Christ, dying and go to hell. It's telling us that we're saved and kept by Christ, preserved in Him unto the day of redemption. And then as we understand that and understand that we're sealed and we're standing on the foundation of God for sure, on a sure foundation, then we need to study this book and learn of it tonight. That's why he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Then we see the importance of it. God puts his, we see the preservation of it. I've strayed from the preservation for a while. But then we see the importance of the book. Psalms 138 and verse 2, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7 says to not take the Lord's name in vain, because he will not hold them guiltless that do so. So if God says not to take his name in vain, that you would be guilty if you did that. But yet in the book of Psalms, he said he's magnified his word above his very name tonight. Seems like to me that he'd give us a book that he'd want us to have. Common sense tonight. Proverbs chapter 30. "Every word of God is pure, he's a shield unto them."
that put their trust in Him. I love that verse. He's a shield unto them. Why? Because we've trusted Him and trusted what His Word has to say tonight. The importance of it. God put it above His very name. That may not seem like a whole lot to you tonight, but knowing what God thinks about His name, He talks about Jesus' name in the book of Philippians over there. Says that He has gave Him a name that is above every name. In the book of Psalms, He said He magnified His Word above His name. Seems like we would understand some things tonight. It talks of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these things are written, John chapter 20, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Believing what? His Word. 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. What did He say? These things I have written unto you. John chapter 5. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come unto me, that you might have life. This book teaches us of the Lord Jesus Christ. I learned I was a sinner by this book. I learned the gospel of this book. I learned that I was saved by this book. You know, the night I got off that altar, I didn't know why I was saved. I know I asked Him to save me, but I didn't know that I was saved until I read this book right here and found out what it took to get saved and found out this book told me I was. This book gives hope. Listen, He said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's a defensive weapon. Ephesians chapter 6 says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hey, you've got to draw it out and begin to fight. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing the divine asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the mind, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you, Lord, love the Word of God. Why do I believe the King James Bible? I believe I find it with the witness of the Scriptures themselves. I have found that this book works. You ever put it to use? You ever put it to the test and find out that this book works? Revivals were started with it. The Great Awakening was preached out of it. Men like George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, Sam Jones, all those men held this book in their arms and in their hands and preached what thus saith the Word of God is. You know why the devil hates it? Because it actually works. Yea, hath God said. If I cannot get folk to quit going to church, if I cannot get folk to quit reading their Bible, let me give them something else to read instead of the Word of God. Let me give them something that might confuse them and might not make as much sense to them. That's what the Word of God does. Psalms 119 put it this way, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I believe not when you take this book and you read it, God can enlighten your eyes. It's good for instruction. 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Teaches us how to live. You know why I believe the King James Bible tonight? Because everybody else is against it. What do you mean everybody else is against it? A lot of times when you see, and it talks about other Scriptures, they're attacking what this book says. They don't attack what each other says. They attack what this book says. I know that don't happen all the time, but I know that happens. Everybody wants to correct it tonight. One of the biggest versions out right now, I really believe, if I understand things right, and I don't stay up to date on all this stuff because it just really, I'm not in the end and in the know, but I believe it's the English Standard Version, what's called the ESV. That's kind of took the place of, it was an international for a while, and then it became the New King James. I took things over, and now I believe the English-speaking version has took over. Most people don't understand and even know that the ESV came from the Revised Standard Version.
I learned that in studying this message over again. I learned that it came from the Revised Standard Version, which came from over 100 years ago, and it just came out of it. And so how do you know that? They said it on their own website. I mean, I agree. But everybody wants to correct the King James Bible, wants to put something different in there. Most of y'all already know this right here. Isaiah 7. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We know that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that's talking about Mary over there in Luke chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And that thing that was in her, the Bible said, is the Son of God. She was a virgin. She never knew a man. She did not know a man. She did not know Joseph in that way. But yet the New Revised Standard said a young woman. The New World Translation said a maiden. And they all want to take away the virgin birth. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Luke chapter 2. The NIV, the New Revised Standard Version, New American Bible, said the child's father. The ESV says his father. The New World Bible said its father. Joseph was not his father. The King James Bible makes it very plain that it was Joseph and his mother. Joseph didn't have anything to do with Christ Jesus the Lord coming into this world. He had things to do with raising him while he was on this earth. You know, we talk about how much Mary must have loved God. And there's no doubt about that. I don't think that he would have overshadowed her and put Christ Jesus the Lord in her for her to have him if she didn't love him. Imagine how much Joseph loved God. God chose them to raise his son. Always a good message in that right there. Would God choose us to raise his son tonight? Hadn't even thought about that. I may have to preach on that sometime. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I'll give you this. You know what the English Standard Version said? When it talked about how that God was manifest in the flesh, he was manifested in the flesh. Who's he? The New International said he appeared in a body. The Living Bible said who came to earth as a man. The New World Translation said he was made manifest in the flesh. But not one of them said God was manifest in the flesh. There's a difference in saying God was manifest in the flesh and saying he was manifest in the flesh. Who is he? Daniel chapter 3, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The New International Version, the New American Standard Bible, New World Translation, and the English-speaking version, the ESV, said, a son of the gods. King James Bible said, the fourth is like the Son of God. The New Revised Standard, the Living Bible, called him a God. The New American Bible said, a son of God. The little g. But right here he said the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Colossians 1 and 14, very important verse. They're all important, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. They all want to take out that blood. The New Revised Standard, New American Standard, NIV, the ESV says that in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. New World Translation says we have release or ransom, the forgiveness of sins. Not even close. He always steps out on the scene and he says, yea, hath God said. Now, do you know what the devil does? Go over here and look. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat every fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, when he told Adam that over there, there wasn't nothing about touching it. And I don't know if Adam added that just to keep her from going around it or if she added it herself. I don't know about that. But nonetheless, I would say that they probably didn't need to touch it. You know, if you get around it close enough to touch it, you might want to partake of it. Verse 4. Well, the end of verse 3 said, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." That is exactly what God's saying. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Pretty plain, ain't it? Verse 4, chapter 3, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Satan just lied, didn't he? I mean, you can't find any other way than that to say what the devil done right there. He lied. You know what these other versions that stick Holy Bible on the front of them but are not a King James Bible? They lie. You say, well, part of the Word of God is in there. So, all right, so then that makes it part untruth too, don't it? I'll ask Brother Jeff. I asked him this the last time I was preaching on this. "Brother Jeff, how much poison, you know where I'm headed with this, how much poison is in the mouse, the rat killer, Decon? You remember? 0.002% of poison. And the rest of what would be wheat or whatever that pellet's made out of. So it takes just a minute bit, to do its job." Satan didn't have to argue with her too much to get her convinced that she could eat that. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." He said that we should let them slip. The New King James Bible, don't even come close. "All things were made by Him," John 1:3, "and without Him was not anything made that was made." The New King James says, "through Him." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14 said, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." The New King James Bible says, "are being sanctified." 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." The New King James Bible says, "are being saved." I'm not "are being saved." I am not "are being sanctified." I am sanctified. I am saved. Now, if you took somebody that did not know this scripture that I've got in front of me at all, and they read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and they read that they are being saved, would that not read as though that it is a process? I mean, put yourself in somebody's place that is ignorant of the Word of God. I'm hard here. I mean, I preach this message, y'all, hard simply because you all ought to know better. I mean, I've preached this thing since I've been here for almost 18 years. I've preached this message. Other men have come in and preached on the King James Bible. You should know better. I should know better. But you know, there's people out there that don't know better. Just like until I was 16 years old, I was raised in a church that used anything and everything. And if that's what's going, then that's what you're going to know. I'm not hard on those people because they're ignorant of the truth and they need to be taught, you see. Matthew 7:14 said, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Not even close. The New King James Bible, when it talked about narrow is the way, it says difficult is the way. There is nothing difficult about getting saved. There's one way to get saved. Narrow is the way, and it is by the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is not difficult to get saved. It's not hard. Like I said, at the end of the day, you're just going to have to take it by faith. Take it by faith. If you look at any other scripture, in what I've studied and what I know, and I done it just the other day, if you want to know what scripture it is, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Your King James Bible is the only one that will use the word study. Reckon why it's the only one that uses the word study. You ever think that Satan does not want you to study your Bible? I mean, the New International Version says, "Do your best." The 1901 American Standard said, "Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God." The New American Standard Version said, "Do your best to present yourself unto God." The New King James Bible said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God." The Revised Standard Version and the English Standard Version, they've got one difference in this verse. And I'll tell you what it is. But it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." The ESV, instead of saying workman, says worker. Do your best, be diligent, do your best, give diligence, do your best. But yet the King James Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." How can that be the same? I guess I'm just trying to use a little common sense tonight to ask you some questions. If you believe something else, how could you? I don't think Satan wants us to study the Word of God. So he simply just takes that out. Years ago, most of y'all know this story too. I keep telling the same story when I preach this message. I ain't got nothing new to tell, I don't guess. Me and my wife was in the flea market up in Sevierville. As we were walking down through there, they had the booth that has the Bibles and the Christian tapes and all those things. And then they have a sign sticking out on the post that says, "Bibles." And then on the next post down, it says, "Easy Reading Bibles." So you've got King James Bibles here, and then you got everything else down here on Easy Reading Bibles. There's no saying that I remember growing up with that said, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. That book is inspired and breathed on by God. And for you to understand it, you're going to have to be inspired and breathed on of God. The natural man ain't going to get it. You know how I know I'm saved? I've cracked that book open and it's become alive and enlightened my eyes. I'm not talking about hearing somebody else preach it and explain it. I'm not talking about reading a commentary and getting what somebody else has said. I'm talking about sitting down and reading and praying and God just opening that book to me and it becoming alive. I think it does matter tonight. I know folk are going to argue with me and don't believe what I have to say about that tonight, but I believe God has preserved us. I believe He gave us the seventh English speaking Bible as silver purified, tried seven times, purified in the heart of the... I believe that's what this book is tonight. So if God preserved it for us, then should we not study it and read it tonight? Should you not believe it tonight? That God can save you if you're lost. That God can guide your home. And listen, that you can raise your kids by this book. That you can live your life by this book right here tonight. I believe we can believe it's by our heads tonight. Across the house. I hope you love the Word of God. Because I can tell you one thing. The God of the Word loves you tonight. You find in this book that He loves you. One of the first songs we sung this morning, "Love Lifted Me." The love of God. Do you know the Savior tonight? I'm not talking about know about Him. Do you know Him tonight? Have you ever been saved? I want you to know that Jesus came and died for you so that you could get saved. I want you to come. We're not going to have no music tonight. But if you need to come pray, I want you to come. Listen, I'll meet you right down here at this altar and pray with you. Folk will come and pray with you. You will not be here long tonight if you need to come and get saved. If God has spoke to your heart about the preaching tonight and that of the Word of God, and you need to come, first something in your life that you need to do business with God about, I want you to come tonight. I'll get out of your way and come pray. So we're being real still and real quiet tonight. Does anybody need to come?